Off the Ball Rugby.
Penal's picking it up in his own 22, and it's bouncing at his feet, and all of a sudden they're gone, and they go the length of the field, and starving them of that is the key to winning.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
You're welcome back now. The SSE Airtricity Women's Premier Division gets up and running this weekend. The game on TG Cahir tomorrow is Athlone Town versus Wexford. It kicks off at 4:45. LOI TV carrying the rest of the games, including Shells versus Shamrock Rovers tomorrow at 4:00 at Talca Park. And I'm delighted to say that on the line we have Chloe Singleton of Athlone Town. Chloe, how are you doing?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Very well. And we've also got our own Scarlett Heron, but more importantly of Shamrock Rovers. Scarlett, how are you keeping?
All good, Owen. How are you?
Very well. So thanks, Millie, for joining us, folks. Chloe, just first of all to yourself, I understand it's going to be a watching brief for you for the next little while. How are things going with the injury?
Yeah, look, it is what it is at this stage. I think I'm kind of used to being on the sideline now. Towards the end of the last year, it was the same kind of thing. But look, I'm towards the end of things in my head. I have another couple of months to go down with the road to recovery, another maybe 2 or 3 months. But I'm back running, which is a huge positive for me. You know, it's off the bike and onto the pitch now and getting down to the nitty-gritty of getting my fitness back, kind of working the ankle on the pitch. So look, I'm towards the end of the recovery. So I'm looking forward to the season ahead, and hopefully I can make an impact throughout the summer.
Because we had you on the line before the cup final last year against Shells. Is that the same injury that's carried over into this season?
It is, yeah. So I dislocated my ankle last year, so it's a kind of a long-term injury. So we're looking at 9 months in total, I'd say, it'll bring me up to. So still kind of on that road.
How is that in terms of seeing the rest of your teammates getting excited for a season ahead, kind of the buzz developing, TG Cahir tomorrow and all of that, and you've got to sit in the sidelines. Are you keeping yourself pretty well involved, or is it a bit more difficult?
I think my main aim this year is obviously to get myself right, but I think at the start of pre-season I always wanted to be in and around the girls. I didn't want to not be involved because it's just not the same. Obviously I'm not as involved as I'd like to be because I'm not on the pitch with the girls training every second evening, but I'm as involved as everyone else. I'm at every session, I'm at every meeting, I'm still involved, and the buzz around the group is amazing. We've got a lot of new faces who are really excited for the league and what it entails, and obviously League of Ireland is growing every year, and with the likes of TG Cahir coming on board, I think the girls are really excited to get going. And obviously our first game, we want to make an impact. The first game is probably one of the most important because you want to hit the ground running, so the buzz is there. Obviously for myself it's a lot different to be on the sideline. I'm not like preparing as much as obviously the other girls are, but I still have work to do and I still have an impact on the team.
What is the buzz like in your dressing room then, Scarlett? Obviously a huge game against Shells this weekend in Talca Park. Do you have a sense of nervousness before the season, or is it just pure excitement?
I think everyone's just really excited, to be honest. Like, we've been going now for about 8 weeks or so in pre-season, so I think everyone's kind of just sick of the same routine of friendlies. You know, you don't really get the same buzz off it. We're all just really looking forward for tomorrow. Obviously, training tonight, so we'll do our last bit of prep. And I'd say there will be a few bit of nerves tomorrow morning, maybe. We have a very young squad, so it'll be interesting to see how we cope with it. But I think we're well prepared and we're well ready for the season. And I'm just really, really, really looking forward to it. Like,
for you, has this been the most complete pre-season that you've had? Obviously, you've come up through the underage ranks and the greater professionalism that we're starting to see in the league. Those 8 weeks that you talk about, is that one of the best bodies of work that you put down, I wonder?
Yeah, definitely. I think we've had a really, really solid stint of pre-season, obviously, and a good stint of training as well. We've kind of just been working on what we built last year, and obviously we lost a few girls, but we've a great underage system, so a good few girls come through, and it's really good to see the sort of like the intent they have on trying to push the league and trying to make themselves known. Like, they're really, really committed to the game, and it's great to see sort of now that they have stuff to aim for in terms of like internationals, going to England, etc. Like, a few years ago you might have had that, so I think everyone sort of works that extra bit harder maybe, and there's that extra incentive now obviously with the new international manager as well for some girls that might push them on as well. But I think the thing we're most focused on is trying to do it for ourselves. Like, obviously last year we didn't have the year we expected at all. We were really, really disappointed, and it was good for the off season for us to be able to reflect on that. And this year we're all about accountability, you know, taking accountability for your own actions and really try to come together as a team. And I think we have a really good group, and we're really tight knit this year as well. Obviously a small enough squad, so we're really, really close as a team. Like, and I really think we're going to try hit the ground running tomorrow and hopefully get a win.
There's loads of broad talking points that I want to get both of your take on. Just one more specific thing for you, Chloe, on Athlone Town. Obviously, Ciarán Cailduff's departure has happened since I've last been chatting to you. How big a transition has that been for the group?
Yeah, look, people move on. It's piece of football. Football is variable. Managers come and go, and we all kind of know that as players. You can't be set on one manager as a player. Like, players come and go, managers come and go. So yeah, look, we've had to adapt to the new style of play, the new manager. Colin, he's an Athlone man himself, and Gordon, who he's brought in with him, and the rest of the staff, they're a great addition so far. Obviously, the departure of Ciarán was tough for a lot of us to take, but I think we all kind of knew it was coming. And Ciarán's a great lad, and we wish him all the best, but we have to keep moving forward. We have to turn a new leaf. We have to focus on this year ahead, and we don't have time to dwell on things, you know. But no, the two lads who have come in have done a really good job so far. It'll be interesting to see. Obviously, I think it's Colin's first time within the women's football in the Premier Division. I think he's involved with the college there, but it'll be interesting to see how he takes it. But so far, there's no complaints from our end of things. That the girls have adapted well. Obviously, we've a lot of new players as well who didn't know how things were last year, so they're adapting to the new faces as well. So far, we've all adapted pretty well, I think. There's no upset in the squad at all.
Because a beloved manager can leave and a team can go on and continue their success and go on to greater things. So can Colin Fortune be the Arna slot to Ciarán Cailduff's Jurgen Klopp, I wonder?
Yeah, you'd hope anyways, because obviously last year a lot of people think, oh, there's nothing more to do, but we want to retain that league trophy. You know, they're big boots to fill for Colin, in my opinion, because Ciarán was a great manager. But no chip off his shoulder, I'm sure. We all want to retain that trophy just as much as he wants to win the trophy. And as well, we've Champions League to look forward to. So we've got a lot of aims this year. And, you know, Champions League will come and go in the blink of an eye. So we don't want that to be our be-all and end-all in the year. Like, we have a lot. We've got the FAI Cup that we want to obviously turn things around from last year. And then obviously the league trophy and then Champions League to look forward to. So we've got a lot of positives to take from the new year coming.
Scarlett, you've already touched on this a little bit, but I'm keen to discuss this with both of you. Just the fact that there is a new Republic of Ireland manager in situ, there is the reintroduction of home-based sessions here in Ireland. There's talk, we'll know next week after the development plan is launched by the FAI, a little bit more about development squads for players here in the league and maybe potentially academies here as well. Is there a sense amongst the players that there is a greater incentive now playing in this league, the incentive being potential Republic of Ireland call-ups?
It's really, really positive, and it's a great step for the FAI as well. Obviously, we had sort of a home base, a few years ago under Vera, and then after the World Cup, that kind of hindered out. So it's great that there's something back again. And as I was saying, it kind of gives players that extra incentive to push on, but I think it's really, really good from Carla Warden. Obviously, she was at the President's Cup last weekend. So I think it gives players, like younger players, a chance to bridge the gap, because between the 19s and the seniors, there's such a gap there. And it's difficult for players maybe in that age range of 19 to maybe mid-20s to see something for themselves, because the senior team seems so far away. Obviously, with them, most of the team playing in England and abroad, it's difficult when you're here to sort of see yourself in that sort of setup. So I think, the new development squad is just a really, really positive thing, and hopefully continues, and we'll see what the FAI's plans are now on Tuesday.
Is there something that you have in mind that you'd like to see Hannah Dingley say, or is there a quick fix, Scarlett, with regards to that gap between the under-19s and senior that you'd like to see addressed?
Yeah, well, I think myself, Kathleen and Karen talk about this on the Koi Geek pod quite a bit. There is no quick fix. And I think that's the same in every country when it comes to developing the women's game. I think it's something that needs to happen over time. Even Carla Ward, with her stint now until the World Cup in 2027, like that doesn't even have to be the goal. We need to look further on to the next Euros campaign, because these things don't happen overnight. Obviously, it's a bit of a transitional phase, maybe. Obviously, there's a lot of retirements coming from the senior team, so I think now we need to focus on, number one, getting our grassroots nailed down. We need more girls teams, we need more participation from girls side of things, we need more competitions for them, and then we also need to boost our underage systems across the country, all of our academies, because like for myself, I didn't join the academy or a League of Ireland setup, underage setup, until I was 17, so I was playing with lads all the way up, which is a good thing in when you look at it in terms of sort of building character and developing your skills in a different way. But I think now that shouldn't be the case, and it's not in a lot of places, but I think there is still a good bit to go. And obviously the development squad will help, as we said, if that can be a continuous thing and maybe go into a 23s to help that gap, that'd be great. But I think you really need to look at the base of things, look at the grassroots, look at the League of Ireland academies. There's still a good few clubs that don't have League of Ireland teams in the Premier Division. Obviously we have Waterford coming in this year, and I think with the men's third tier developing now in the next couple of years, we have to look at growing the women's game more and bringing more teams into the League of Ireland, and therefore more underage teams into the underage leagues, and really trying to push the academies all across Ireland.
Chloe, on the development conversation, it is going to be Hannah Dingley's first appearance next Tuesday when the FAI launch their plan. Do you have anything in mind, or do you have anything that you'd like to see mentioned in that briefing?
Well, in this development squad, it kind of looks like an under-23 squad, really. It's a kind of an unsaid 23 squad. I don't know if that's their plan or what their plan is. I just hope, like on the back of what Scarlett said, like the funding needs to go into grassroots, it needs to go into academies. It'll be very interesting to see what Hannah has to say in this development meeting and in the announcement, but it kind of, to me, it looks like an under 23 squad. Like, I know Carla Ward was at the President's Cup last week, but you hope it's not just a box ticking exercise. You hope she's going to continually go to the games throughout the year, or have staff members going to the games, because as I know in previous years, not many managers or staff members were going, or it was just to tick a box. And like Scarlett said, there's a lot of players who have just retired. There's an age group there that were kind of missed out, I feel. So you'd hope that they will reach out to League of Ireland clubs and really keep a close eye on these homegrown players, because I think that's where a lot of the talent is bypassed. Like, you have players who are asked to go abroad to play because it's on a professional level. But sure, we've got professional contracts coming into the League of Ireland now. It's what managers and players are being asked to do, and you know, I just think a lot of players are being bypassed, so it'll be interesting to see what they have to do and what development they are going to put in place. But yeah, definitely a lot of structures need to be straightened up.
What was your relationship with academies, Chloe, if any?
I was kind of like Scarlett. I played kind of grassroots local club at home. I didn't really go through any academy. It was my local club, Ballymulley, at the time. And then I joined Piemont United under 18s. And then from there, I joined Galway WFC. So there was no academy for myself either, you know, because that's just how it was back in the day.
And I'm right in saying, and this is probably one for you, Scarlett, that the reason why you didn't play with an academy until under 17 is that there was no academy for beyond that, or for any younger, like no matter where you were in the country, that was not an option for you?
Just the sort of travel commitment as well. Like, I went to Piemont underage, and it was the closest location to me. I'm from Mallin originally, and that's an around 45 minute journey, which when you're still in school and your parents are driving you, it's a big commitment. And to be honest, I wasn't aware of any like a Women's League of Ireland until I was 15 or 16, even though I was playing football since I was able to walk, really. So that's interesting. Like, obviously, Monaghan's not a big footballing county, but it's still, people should be aware of sort of the opportunities there is, especially for young girls. And yeah, I suppose it's just growing that awareness and growing more teams around the areas. I know we're looking at teams in like Mayo developing. I think that's really positive. And then hopefully the local club, Monaghan United, looking to join the third tier, hopefully like that could grow. And I think that there's a lot of counties where it's underdeveloped. Obviously Dublin's really strong, and areas like Cork are really big footballing communities and strongholds. But I think we have to continually try to go, because the talent's there. Like, even when you look at the men's game, you look at David Clifford when he was younger, played football and was brilliant, but obviously chose to play Gaelic in the end. And it's those players we're losing out on. Obviously, they're going to go to different sports, but I think if we can give those players opportunities, they'll just continue to grow and they'll continue to develop and hopefully become like internationals all across the board, all across the country.
So what is, say, if you're, let's just use a Dublin youngster as an example here, because of the resources available in the capital. If you're a precociously talented young footballer in Dublin, is there an academy at under 14, under 15? Do we at least have that in the capital at this point?
I think there would be now, yeah. Like at Shamrock Rovers, for example, there is academies from, I think, under 13 up, and right, there even is smaller groups. There's underage groups from, I think, under 7s up. So that's really positive. But obviously that's, unfortunately, the minority. Not a lot of clubs have that, and like at Rovers, we're really lucky that that is a system to have in place. But obviously that still needs to grow as well. But that needs to be something that's widespread, as I said, across other clubs in the country.
Because it's not just a conversation that we're having here or a media conversation. It is something that the top level of the game here have brought into their own discourse. And it was just so fascinating. And we'll go back to it for a while, I think, the fact that when Ruaidhrí Littlejohn was interviewed after the Wales playoff, first thing that she went to was the grassroots in this country, and that things need to change in the game in terms of style and being able to compete with the best teams. I don't want to like frame this in too negative a way, but even if you look at the Slovenia game recently, is there a sense that maybe with the women's game in this country, and to be fair, probably goes for the men's game as well, that Ireland is perhaps standing a little too still? And even when we look to teams in Eastern Europe that Ireland would traditionally have been much better than, especially in women's football, that the gap is actually closing and those teams are catching up on Ireland, Chloe. What's your sense on that?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there. That's been kind of the vocal point since probably the back of the two games that the women played, that other teams are catching up and we're just lagging behind. That seems to be the way for the last couple of years now, and it's becoming really prominent in the last couple of results that we've had, especially, I know we can't just go off the last two games there, but just in terms of the growth in women's football in Ireland in general, it's very poor. Like, we don't see any progression over the last couple of years, and on the back of the academy structure, like, just thinking there, I think at Lone, I think we only have an under-17s and under-19s structure for the girls. Like, you know, there's from under-17s down, there's, you're playing with your local grassroots club, and then if you're good enough you might be scouted. And I know for myself, when I was a young player, it was through Gaynor Cup is where you kind of were scouted, and not all players have the ability or have maybe the right resources to go to the Gaynor Cup, which is where a lot of players maybe might have fell through the gaps. So yeah, I think there's a lot of points that Hannah will have to go through on Tuesday over this development. I just think there's a huge gap and it's becoming more and more prominent.
I was doing a bit of research before this, and granted this is not like an overly useful metric to use, but when I look at what the FA are doing, for example, and just kind of to look at that runaway train that's happening in England at the moment, the situation in England, granted obviously 10 times the population, is that they now have 73 girls emerging talent centres across England. There had been 39 only a couple of years ago, so they've expanded that to over 70 at this point, and it's for girls from the ages of 8 to 16. So again, if you're talking, Chloe, about there only being an under-17 academy team, let's say, in the Midlands, geographically speaking, you're completely out of the situation compared to girls in England, because they made a commitment that there would be a centre, a one-hour drive from the home of any young talented player in England. The numbers of players in this system at the end of last season was 4,200, up from around 1,700 before this plan was rolled out, and they're all affiliated with clubs across the top four tiers of English football. There's information online about what they do in these centres, and it's about delivering a minimum of one session per week, which includes 1.5 hours of technical training to each age group for 30 weeks. And then there's age-appropriate strength and conditioning / physical literacy also to be included in that. Granted, we can't look at England given the population and the resources always, but there are some basic things there, like the geographical access, which I think we could possibly learn a lot from.
Like, those numbers there are just telling, really, aren't they? Like, if you compare those to the Irish numbers, I think it would be an embarrassing stat. But like what Scarlett said as well, like, geographically, she probably couldn't make an academy when she was growing up, you know, and that's the way it is for a lot of the girls from where I'm from. Like, I'm at Lone, I'm based in Lone, and a lot of younger kids, like, I'm sure they want to play for academies, I'm sure they want to push themselves, and we're all talking about keeping young females in the sport, but sure, where are the outlets for them? Do you know, like, I know we all have our grassroots clubs, but we need more than that. We need the academies, we need all these extra trainings, like what you said, their technical training, like, you need all these outlets, and we need more training, and we need more courses for individuals to get trained up on the education around women's sport and women's football. And I'm sure for females in the Midlands, I don't know where the nearest, like, I don't even know myself where the nearest academy would be. It probably would be Shamrock Rovers, or I don't know if there's any down the west, or, you know, it would probably be towards Dublin would be the nearest one, which is absolutely ridiculous, because you can't expect parents who work full time, work every day, to finish their jobs and then bring their child up to Dublin. Like, it's just ridiculous. I know when I was growing up, my mother had to go part-time just to make sure I got the training in Dublin. Do you know, and there's these other commitments that family members have to make that other people aren't seeing, that the FAI aren't seeing. And I think if there was more academies, more locally, like you said, at least a minimum of an hour away, it might be a little bit easier on family members and on players. But at this moment in time, it's shocking, really.
And it's not only a question for the FAI, it's a question for the government as well. And I think it's fair to say a couple of red flags have presented themselves over the last couple of weeks when we listened to the new junior minister for sport, Patrick O'Donovan, talking about the promised funding for academies being not imminent. Now, that'll go for men's as well as women's football, but that's an overall umbrella phrase which captures the whole thing. You'd certainly be concerned if you wanted this thing done in a hurry, or you wanted change to happen in a hurry.
Yeah, well, it's not going to happen overnight. You know, it's like Scarlett said, it's not. It's one of these things that you need a plan, and you need to go by the plan. You can't just expect things to happen overnight. But unfortunately, the situation we're in, we need a plan right now, and we need to get the ball rolling, you know, because when you look at it, in the next Euros, are we going to be competing? I don't know, like, or are we even going to get into the next Euros? We need to be looking at all these things. And at this moment in time, I just hope that the FAI and the government and everyone are realising these. I'm sure they are, because it's the vocal point at the moment, at this moment in time, off the back of the last two games. But look, time will tell, I suppose, when Tuesday comes around.
Yeah, and just on a final point on this section, Scarlett, like, even if you look at what Kieran Kilduff has said in the past about this, and it's a very, very valid point. He said, I can guarantee you that in 10 years' time, 95% of our national team will be made up of players playing in our league now. So this is very much not just a situation that needs to benefit the league in the short, medium and long term. This is something that will benefit the women's national team as well.
Yeah, that's it. When you look at your grassroots, you're hoping that when you see a 7-year-old, 8-year-old girl out training with a full team and emerging talent programme, that in 10, 15 years' time, she'll be progressed into the League of Ireland, through the League of Ireland and into our international setups. And then you're hoping, if you're looking at that girl now, that the league as well will have progressed. But that as well only comes from, as you said, the funding from the grassroots and the funding into the League of Ireland. And you're hoping that it's a more professional setup than it is now. Obviously, it's taken great strides in the last few years, which is brilliant. But as I keep saying, like, there's still a lot to do. But it's not an overnight fix, as we keep pounding out. It's something that needs to happen over the next few years, and only through the continuous commitment and support of the likes of the government and the FAI, and strong plans in place that the government will back. I think that's a big thing as well. We need proper plans and proper aims and objectives to meet. And as long as we talk about KPIs, you need to keep hitting them continuously, over the next few years, so that the government continues to back the FAI, what they're trying to do with the league, the grassroots and the international setups as well. I think that's really important.
Back to the football and the immediate focus of this upcoming season. I presume, Scarlett, you can give us an exclusive on Ruaisha Littlejohn.
I wish I could, Owen. I really wish I had something to say to you right now, but I haven't heard anything. I honestly haven't heard anything. I've just seen, obviously, what was written in the Independent yesterday and the sort of speculation around what's happening. I know that she's about a club and obviously haven't left London City. I'd love if she came to Rovers. I'm not sure. I actually am not sure what the story is with that. But obviously, like, if she was to come, it would be a great addition with her experience and obviously her ability as well. It would be fantastic to have her in the league. I think she's a massive personality and would maybe bring a bit of a more of an attraction to the league as a vocal point, and bring more stories and sort of bring more eyes to the game as well. So here, if she comes to the league, to any team, I think it would be fantastic. But if she is going to come to a team, I would hope it would be
I hear she wants to play Champions League football. She come with that loan.
That is a good point by Scarlett Cloy. Obviously, you'd rather not see your rivals get bolstered by one of Ireland's midfielders, but it would be good for the league, right?
Definitely, yeah, that's a good point, Scarlett. I suppose it'd be massive, because you often see players from our league leaving and going to the English leagues, you know, where it would be nice to see the reverse of that happening and players coming towards us. Now, I know Ruaisha is probably towards the end of her career. We wouldn't like players towards the end of their career coming over, but we'd like maybe for the younger generation as well to see our league as an enticing and exciting league. And look, our new captain, Izzy Groves, she's from London City as well, you know, so hopefully it's kind of turning on its head and making a flip.
Yeah, for sure. It would be very, very exciting if that were to happen. Just a kind of on a final point to leave it on, I know obviously it's going to be a while before you're back in action, Chloe, but the stop-start nature of the league, is that something that you have to deal with when you go into any sort of season? Is that just part and parcel of the league, or is there kind of hopes that that'll be a thing of the past in the not-too-distant future?
The stop-start of the league, as in the other competitions?
Yeah, and the long breaks that sometimes you have to deal with, maybe for the national team or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, like for me personally, this year it actually works out in my favour because I probably won't be missing as many games. You know, that's the way I'm looking at it. Obviously, if you're trying to build on something as a team, you don't like the stop-start. It's very, very frustrating when you're a team in form and you're just trying to keep building and building. I know that was the case with us last year. It was very frustrating when you'd have 2 weeks off or a week off and you're just starting to get into momentum. So yeah, look, that's something that's obviously quite frustrating in terms of that side of things, in terms of building momentum. I suppose if you're a team struggling, you probably will be wishing for those break weeks and those 2 weeks off just to kind of gather again and regroup. But look, that's just something that I suppose the structure of the league will have to look at. But look, for me personally, I'm kind of thankful that it is that way this year.
And then give us the pitch for Athlone Town versus Wexford FC tomorrow, Chloe. As I say, TG Carr tomorrow, 4:45, people will be tuning in obviously to see the champions. Wexford FC, I presume you've done your research and you can tell us who to look out for there.
Yeah, I know obviously Ella Malloy is back. She's a big one for Wexford. So obviously we've all our analysis done. We've all our training done this week. So we're really, really looking forward to it. Really looking forward to the game. Anyone who can get down to it, obviously get down to Lissy Wullen down in Athlone. And if you can't, tune in to TG Carr because I'm sure it'll be a cracking game.
And Scarlett, Talca Park, have you played there much before?
Yeah, we played there obviously the last couple of seasons, and it's probably my favourite venue out of all the places to go in a way it is. Yeah, which is weird because it's always, I wouldn't say it's in the best nick at the minute, just with obviously the weather and the amount of games played there. And I know the men are there tonight, so I wouldn't say it's in the best nick in the world, but I always just love playing there. I think it's just because it's shells as well. It's always a great game. It's always real competitive and there's always that bit of bite to it as well.
Yeah, well, hopefully we're not too long away from the pitch is getting a little bit better around the league, but that is the SSE Airtricity Women's Premier Division set and the scene set for the upcoming season. You've been listening to Chloe Singleton of Athlone Town and Scarlett Heron of Shamrock Rovers, folks. Thanks so much.
Off the ball, rugby.
Then I was picking it up in his own 22, and it's bouncing on his feet, and all of a sudden they're gone, and they go the length of the field, and starving them of that is the key to winning.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.